Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Utah, give me two. Welcome tonight. Yeah, that's about as lame as you can get. Okay, folks, we're working on little sleep and a hell of a fun night today. So we're starting just a little bit late, but we've got Robbie Baseball here with me. My name is Ben Chase, Big Gentle Ben, on all your favorite social media applications. And Robbie, we had a very fun week in news, but we're not going to really have a very fun topic to talk about tonight. Talking about the struggle bus pitchers, that's not such a fun thing.
Mm-mm. It's a negative topic, and that's why there's beer. And tonight's podcast is not sponsored by Yingling and Yingling Light. And just for anyone who was interested, I do still have one Hams left. She's here in the Pringles Yeti. We'll get to that one later on. But I wanted to start off with something light because we do have a dark topic tonight in minor league pitchers that are struggling. And, of course, we're not talking about all of them. We're talking about the ones that matter for those of us sickos in dynasty keeper redrafts and just prospect lovers who want to see these guys do well. So we're going to try to find a positive spin on each and every one of these guys. But, Ben, first we're going to start off with news. And it doesn't look good, but it will end well. With San Francisco Giants, Jung-Hoo Lee, their big offseason acquisition, if you're not counting Blake Snell or Matt Chapman, he's dislocated his shoulder. This is a contact-heavy guy. He's been okay, you know, good, not great for the Giants. He's out for a while. Michael Conforto also out. That's right, Adarsh.
Oh, no. Wow, poor our resident Giants fan, Joe. He's turned off the show already. Aw.
Oh, no. It'll get better, Joe. Well, it'll get better. There might be character talk.
Oh, yeah. No.
But we lost Jung-Hoo Lee. We lost Conforto. But the Giants said, do you guys remember prospects? We used to have some. Helio Ramos is up. Luis Matos is up. And we will see what those guys are doing because I think they're both just going to play. I believe that's the idea. They were doing that at AAA. They're going to do it up in the show, and we're good with that. Right along with guys who are going to play, TJ Friedl goes down with the Reds, and they immediately promote Jacob, as I'm going to mispronounce it, Hurtubise.
Oh, gosh. Now, what I will say on this guy, if you are looking for a an OBP, actually a more of a speed influx on your team, if you're looking for some steals, this is a good guy, but it's going to be short term. He's not going to be sticking around long. Hurt most of this year, so numbers look okay. But this is a guy last year in, you know, full year, was a 330, 479, 483 guy with 45 steals, but 11 doubles, folks. Like, this guy, he doesn't put a whole lot of juice into the ball. But for steals, absolutely going to be a very, very, very worthwhile pickup for everyone. The other thing I like about him, he's a West Point grad or a West Point draftee. So it's always fun to have a guy that's from the U.S. Army. So I always like the military academy sort of guys that get drafted and come in because there's just something fun about a guy so good at baseball that the military is letting him play. So that's kind of a fun little thing here. But anyway,
who's the Rule 5 pick that
Noah Song
pitcher with Austin?
Yep. And I think if he wouldn't have had to fulfill his duties, he would have, he would have likely been a much better pitcher, but after he spent multiple years out of the game, essentially. But Griffin Jacks was a guy just like that too. And folks forget that most of his minor league career, he spent playing for like 2 months of the entire year because he was given a 2 month leave to come and play and then would have to serve the rest of the time. So I think he might have been Air Force. I'd have to look that up off the top, but off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
But he was a military service guy. And so I think he had just gotten out of his military service when he got called up to the Twins. So, I mean, it was just that kind of that happenstance that he worked his way all the way up the chain while he was still serving his country. So,
And Chad, right, well, somebody who came.
Yeah, Chad is a big fan. He says he thinks that Stuart Fairchild might leave when Friedel comes back. The Reds have a whole crap ton of outfielders. And frankly, they're in a really good position to draft one of the guys that could move really quick out of this year's draft, too. And so they're about to get a really, really, really stacked up system in position players, because I highly doubt that they're going to keep or they're going to go pitching with that number two overall pick. But anyway, that's
the Reds have the number two pick.
I'm correct on that. I think it's Ohio for both of the first two picks. Let me make sure.
Really? Wow. How the hell did that happen?
The draft lottery. They were good. It's a beautiful thing. It really is.
I didn't even look. Anyway, we'll have to talk draft soon, and maybe later we'll discuss that we've got something to talk about with that. But right now, let's get to the cheaters.
Number two pick.
That's right.
So just verifying. Sorry.
Okay. Christian Javier is back with the Houston Cheaters. And in sad news, they DFA'd utility starter relief type Brandon Belak. And I say sad news because he was of some use last year with some not great, but okay starts as well as just like innings. And it's uncertain where he's going to go. And if he doesn't get claimed, which I got to hope a guy like that does, to be a long man out of someone's bullpen, if he doesn't and he gets off the 40 man, it's going to be a little tough for him to get back on with Houston, because they obviously got to this point with him where they're deciding he is way too far down their depth chart to keep him around. So unfortunate there, but in good news on the other end, the Mets ace Cody Senga is throwing to hitters now. So if anyone out there is thinking I might want to get him now before the words on all the websites' notes become rehab assignment. Because we've seen Scherzer do the rehab assignment, and then all of a sudden nobody wants to trade him, including myself, because I want him back. And I'm going to skip over the next guy to circle back, because in Scherzer news, he's getting a cortisone shot or received one for nerve damage, which really tells me that there won't be more Max Scherzer after this year. He did have a rehab starter too, I think, and then shut down because of that. So he's not feeling great in his dingers. So we're hoping that Mad Max is still able to come back, but that early ahead of schedule stuff, that timeline's gotten pushed back. And now we're hoping to see just another rehab assignment.
Which, by the way, Texas are still is still in first place. Last I looked, they might be behind the Mariners right now, but still
they're a competitive team.
And they're able to do that without DeGrom, without Scherzer, without, you know, Eovaldi, they basically don't have their whole freaking starting five. And they're still able to do that. And never mind, Wyatt Langford didn't produce before he got hurt, really, the way that they were hoping. Evan Carter hasn't exactly done what they were hoping he would do. But holy cow! Like, this is really impressive, the way that Texas is pulled together this season. I mean, you lose Young for the year at third base. So, I mean, gosh, they're kind of, it'll be fun.
They're making it happen, that's for sure. At all points, you know, they've had surprises come up. Even Cody Bradford, who wasn't expected to be in the rotation, was doing well, and then
so this is on Senga, is who he's saying that he's pausing the throwing to the hitter or the rehab and all hitters. That. So, but regardless, he's taken a pretty big step forward. And on a fantasy side, if you wanted to get your hands on him, hearing that he's pitching to live hitters is going to make that price go significantly up if you don't jump pretty darn quick.
Yeah, yeah. Point was basically just like right now things are going to the point, going well enough to the point that he's going to throw. And when you get in front of live hitters, that's great. Next is rehab. So if he's pausing to work on mechanic, go for it. Take whatever, two or three throwing sessions to do that. But if you're out there looking for a buy low, a final opportunity, now's the time. Speaking of a buy low, in fact, no one bought and he was dropped everywhere. Miami called up Tristan Gray, who, Ben, we were talking about it before, didn't really get a fair shake with Tampa and kicked around to the minors, professional minor leaguer. And now he's up with Miami, the top team in all of baseball. Oh, wait, sorry.
The bottom team in all of baseball.
But he's up, and we hope that he gets a fair shake. And so far, Ben, you had said it was one at bat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to make every chance count when you're him. In another delayed prospect who then eventually came up, the Cubs, not closer, Adbert Azole is now on the IL. Just noting that Kyle Hendricks is coming back. And I've got to say, I don't think that's ideal because I thought Hayden Wesneski was going to be getting some starts, but now it looks like he's getting the boot from the rotation. We'll see. Things always happen with those pitchers and their arms and whatnot. Brayan Bello is back with the Red Sox for everybody out there who was looking for more Red Sox good pitchers. Sad news for Oakland. We already knew Ken Waldichuk was not pitching, but he was trying to recover without undergoing surgery. Well, it's now been decided he's going to undergo surgery. He has been transferred, I think, to the 60-day. And I'm saying that because I'm not sure if this was the transaction that made it possible for future A's ace Aaron Brooks to get the call up. That's right, everybody. Top prospect, not really. Veteran who's been in the minors with Oakland this year. Brooks will be the new starter. Beto was the guy that Ben and I talked about last week, or he bantied the name of Beto out. I said I like the idea of you know, Mueller, but maybe you don't want to take him out of a role he's been doing well in. Well, the A's agreed with me, and Brooks is up. Beto was up last week, and Beto had a blister that must have really messed with him because he left his start early, and now he's not in the rotation or on the IL.
Now, is Joey Estes up in his spot? Because Estes had a really nice start earlier this week. Five innings, one run allowed on a home run, no walks, five strikeouts. I mean, you'll take that all day long.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how the where they're plotting guys in for others. I just knew that Wednesday was going to be an available start, and now it's not. And I thought that was going to be potentially Beto's next start. So either way, it's going to be Brooks on Wednesday, and we'll see from there. As far as streaming goes, I've picked him up in one league and put him on my bench to see how Wednesday goes, whether I would return to him or not. We'll see. I certainly don't want to put any stock into a guy who wasn't killing it at AAA. But again, getting outs can be of some use, and maybe you could become a swing.
Bring back your point on Wisniewski. He's given up two runs tonight in the Braves game. And Wisniewski, I was trying to get this to pull up and I just lost it. But his last, let's see here. I'm going back, four appearances, which I'm looking at this bass backwards. We'll go once he moved into the rotation, he gave up four total earned runs over 16 innings. And now in three innings, he's given up two runs tonight. So, but anyway.
Something to be said for getting a starter. That's right. Yeah. Thanks, Joe. Yeah. Both Blackburn and Wood went on the IL. It's later in the week. I think it'll be the Thursday, Friday start. That's the unknown one right now for the Athletics. So, but we'll see. And I mean, the A's are exceeding expectations by all accounts. And McCann, their surprise catcher, is part of that, as well as Abraham Toro, who I just want to say, I remember putting in our group chat. Could not have been more than a month ago, before the Sunday show, telling the guys, make sure you mention Abraham Toro. Coming into the season, I was thinking Abraham Toro has a really good opportunity because he was excellent in AAA last year, and he's going to get at-bats yep. with Oakland. I mentioned it in the offseason. I went out of my way to pick him up in several leagues, and he's now nearly a 300 batting average player with dual eligibility, second, third base, and nearly, or depending on the at-bat, an 800 OPS guy. So it's been exciting for me, and unfortunately not surprising. I was kind of hoping this was like where we could be with him, but it's what's going to continue. Tyler Nevin was hot for a little bit, it's cooled off the last 2 weeks. But the A's are going to rotate through hitters just as much as they are pitchers. So when you see a guy, if you've got a roster spot, they're not the worst guy to pick up if you think there's a bit more ceiling than other people in your various leagues. So, perfect. Mike Vey joins in and says that they did talk about it on the Sunday show.
Giving you your props. So
yeah. I called Toro, but we won't ever discuss anyone else that didn't work out, right? You only mention the ones that hit, and you never talk about the misses. Anyways,
Robbie knows Bull, guys. Robbie knows Bull. He knows Toro. No.
Do you guys remember, Ben, do you remember when Seattle had this emerging starting pitcher who was throwing hot fire, and everyone needed to have him early? I feel like it was like 2021. Matt Brash. Do you remember the Matt Brash hype train?
It felt a lot like the Edwin Diaz hype train that then turned into the Edwin Diaz closer hype train. And so I think a lot of folks then went, this Matt Brash kind of seems like the Edwin Diaz guy. Boy, if they put him in the bullpen. And there we ended last year. Coming into this year, everyone thought that's maybe one of the best middle relief guys that you could get. Oh, but he has an elbow. He's one of those guys that does that pitching thing, and well, those guys tend to need that elbow operated on.
Yeah, and that's what he's going to do. So we won't see him again until most likely the end of 25 or 26. And it's unfortunate, but that is a prospect conundrum. He got late in his prospect life hype and then came up and everybody was excited, and then oh no, the recoil because he was up early. No, Chad, the Matt Brash hype train is not that level. It has left the station. It is now the comeback kid train, which, I mean, it's not even running on coal, that poor thing. But anyway, speaking of out of gas transition poorly, Dylan Bundy and K-Riss Davis have officially retired. Like, we needed that, but it was in the news. I'm mentioning it. That's just good question. Reporting.
Does the speed with which high school pitcher Dylan Bundy got brought to the majors and never really fulfilled the potential he had as, what, the number two or number three overall draft pick in his draft season, does that educate us at all on how we handle high school pitchers, or are we just going to throw it against the wind anyway?
Well, the Phillies were willing to throw it all out for Painter before he got hurt.
I'm just saying,
So,
And I've been told that it would have been a really good idea for Chris Davis to have retired on the 24th of July. That way, the European way, or basically the non-American way of writing that date would have been 247. He's known for his batting average.
Year after year.
Okay, sorry. Bad jokes. Absolutely. But, they're baseball jokes at least. So,
yeah, we've got 5 points of news left, and we're going to bring it up right after I bring it down three more times. Pittsburgh has DFA'd former prospect type, Rosny Contreras. This is where Govier would hit the wow, dude. It surprises me because I feel like Pittsburgh just did him dirty. Not that he necessarily made the mistakes, but it was the way in which he was brought up, down, back up, and now you're in the bullpen, and okay, can you start a little bit? Just the inconsistency that you talked about with Wesneski a moment ago, it seems like that's what has been happening with Contreras. And I feel like he's absolutely going to get picked up by somebody, but it's just a matter of who and what will they do with him?
I almost wonder if it's not a matter of Pittsburgh may have three at their top three levels may have one of the two or three most loaded rotations at each one of those top three levels at AAA, AA, and High A. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pitching in that system. I mean, you and I, when we talked about Pittsburgh, it was basically, okay, here's your Nick Gonzalez types, and you know, oh boy. And hey, here's a whole lot of fun pitching. That was pretty much their farm system. Absolutely. So I almost wonder if they've seen enough of him to go, okay, sending you back down to AAA isn't going to do much. We've got all these other guys in AAA that we're probably going to want to see what they are by the end of the year. Maybe you're best off going and find somewhere else.
And to be like sadly honest on it, if they're looking at financial ramifications, he does get a little more expensive every year. It is a little bit, but it's the same kind of thing that if you look at rest of season, how much money, you know, you can take off the roster if you remove him and have a minimum wage guy, not that he's far off of it. Maybe that went into it too. Again, minimal dollars, but it is a team that does look to spend less versus spend more. Pittsburgh also loses future DFA candidate Ke'Bryan Hayes, injured at the moment, but this is a prospect who was like, again, hype train night. He was very popular with people. They loved the build. They loved the potential. They were one of those, like, there's a minor tweak adjustment here, that could really make him into something he has never become. And I'm not saying he's actually going to get DFA'd. I'm just saying that people were incredibly high on him as a future kind of cornerstone, and he has not yet been that.
Nothing close.
And certainly hasn't had a stretch. Yeah, hasn't had a stretch at the MLB level where we've been like, oh, I could see it. Outside of, I think, his rookie little tea
sandwich. And if you really, 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 I mean, in the vein of Andrelton Simmons was extremely valuable, that's what Ke'Bryan Hayes has been. Because he's kind of that at third base. But again, there's a big difference between having a guy like Andrelton Simmons at shortstop and a guy like Ke'Bryan Hayes at third. The value level of a elite defensive third baseman is not the same as it is an elite defensive shortstop.
Yeah, absolutely right, Ben. It's just, you would take power with a few more errors at third base over excellence in defense, because that's a position you expect it at. Shortstop, like you said, it can be a bit more balanced between what you get as far as, you know, defensive ability and production. All right, so on to Boston, because I like to get rid of Red Sox guys. I don't like to talk about them a lot. But this is one for all the Yoshida owners out there. He's not currently going to get surgery, but he will be out an estimated 6+ weeks.
Yeah.
And that's one for everyone to think about. Now, Boston has options out there, and we've talked about them before, and the other guys on the podcast here, which, of course, we've got a minimum 3 shows a week we're doing right now. We've got the Prospect Power Hour that you're currently listening to. We've got the Waiver Wire live show only on Sundays, and we've got the Friday Fun and Giggle show. I think that's the official name. So you're getting plenty of Palazzo Pod coming at you, and they're talking about that stuff, and they'll go a little more in depth into what's in within Boston for you on that one here. We like to talk about the prospects, but we do like to get through the news and discuss future aces, such as Milwaukee's Bryce Wilson. No, we'll get to him in a second. Milwaukee's promoted Robert Gasser. Ben, are you happy and excited about this?
I love Gasser's like overall ability. I love the low slot from the left side, but I think I've mentioned this a number of times. He reminds me a ton of a young Josh Hader, which made me think, yeah, he may have more pitches to offer, but the arm slot, the left-handedness, I just thought, you know, they're going to have him focus on 2 or 3 pitches, and he is just going to turn into this holy shit reliever. But he's just never, they've never really pushed that angle on him, and now he gets to be a starter. So good for him.
Yeah, I mean, max it out while you can, and if you can do something with it. You know, like there was a long period of time where Corbin Burns – was the 25th to 6th man on the roster. And I say that because at the time you could only have 25 guys on your roster. So he would be up and down. He was the last guy with Milwaukee before it all finally clicked for him and then really came together. And I remember, you know, doing dingers with Ty. He was really high on Corbin Burns' possibility, but he also watched as a lot of other people jumped ship and he picked him up in a lot of spots, and all of a sudden Burns clicked and he had him. That might be the same thing with Gasser, but they are still going to max him out as a starter and give him every opportunity. So we're going to watch with excitement. But the more exciting Milwaukee news, and I know everyone wants me to talk Bryce Wilson, but not tonight. Milwaukee has picked up pitcher Mitch White, who we did mention a couple of weeks ago, and he was DFA'd, and they've picked him up. And there are certain teams, Milwaukee is one of them, Tampa Bay is another, who are able to take these middling guys and turn them into something. Tampa Bay did it with a former Milwaukee pitcher in Drew Rasmussen, and they've also been able to turn Bryce Wilson into someone that has some level of dynasty relevance. I'm not saying he's excellent. I'm saying you can roster him. Expectations are low, people. All right. The only area I reach for the sky is with my wife, and I got there. Okay. Everything else I'm looking for, rosterable, right? Like she did with me. But Mitch White is somebody who I described as being perfect for the Dodgers. Because of their pitching situation, and he's also perfect in Milwaukee. And I think, Ben, I think there's a good possibility we see Mitch White kind of bouncing around doing a few things, including some starty open type situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm looking positive.
So this, enjoyed this just because it reminded me that Ke'Bryan Hayes, David says, reminds him of an early Terry Pendleton, as in pre-Braves, where he can absolutely play the hell out of third, but he's not much of a hitter. And I will tell you what, I have a piece of paper from when I was a wee lad that I predicted that the Twins and the Braves were going to go to the 1991 World Series on my preseason prediction sheet. And in large part, I noted that the Braves and the Twins both signed a good veteran third baseman that was going to be a big difference for them. The Twins got Mike Paliarulo, if you remember him, and the Braves got Terry Pendleton. Yeah. And I honestly thought the Twins got the better guy.
Okay.
And lo and behold, Terry Pendleton goes out and wins a freaking MVP. But the Twins did end up winning the World Series. So, you know, there is that, but they had to cheat and use Kent Herbeck. So that's a whole nother issue. So we'll get into a whole nother.
Well, I'm glad bitter about that. And that, folks, that's the news. That is the news. We ended on a high note, just like I said we would. Ben bashing the Twins because the Braves lost. Now, we will discuss a point that was coming on in, or something that the guys were discussing in the Palazzo Discord under the prospects part, which you, the listener, are more than welcome to join. It is F-R-E-E free for you to join, just like you can, you know, follow any of the guys on the Twitter X. Govier's got his OnlyFans. You can find that for $3. He calls it Patreon, but we know what's going on. Don't lie to us. You can find us all there and continue great conversations, as I had been very hesitant to comment on this one in the chat, and I'll let you know why, but they were discussing a potential sleeper prospect in Kansas City's Ramon Ramirez. And I said, I got a couple points. I wanted to bring it up on the show rather than in the Discord. The first point here, he is 5% rostered on Fantrax. Ben and I were discussing this earlier. That's a big number, because Fantrax has a lot of dynasty leagues, and in all of my 20 and up teams, he is rostered in each and every one of those. The latest pickup, I think, was the end of March. So that would have been my final 20 team league that he was drafted. So second point here, he's a power catcher way ahead of DSL pitchers, which is rare, but he was 1 year older than the typical DSL player at 18 last year, not 17. Now, that doesn't mean you walk away. He still dominated, and that's an important thing. I think he had 8 dingers in 122 at-bats last year, which was a ton of playing time as well for a catcher. The Royals have just drafted, with the 8th overall pick in last year's draft, catcher Blake Mitchell, who is one level ahead of him. I believe he's 19 right now as well. And I think he's the future building block at the position. And my fourth and final point here is the position is a catcher. So this is all been a waste of time, everybody. I'm sorry for wasting your time. The top five average catcher production is somewhere roughly around the 60th best outfield. So just get good outfielders and don't waste time on catchers. I'm not saying you don't go out there and get your casual Connor Wong pick who you think has some offensive ability. But if you're not in a position to throw away outfield potential players, I don't think you want to find yourself drafting a whole bunch of catchers. It's not a great idea. And in redraft, we know, especially if you're playing in silly things like NFBC with those two catcher leagues, what is wrong with you, NFBC? You don't need to spend as much time on catchers, especially not development catchers. But Ben, do you want to try to save this at all, since I've just crapped all over the idea of Ramon Ramirez?
Thing that I did not mention this in the chat, but when I was hearing about Ramon Ramirez this winter, it was from a couple of guys that I know with the Royals, and then also one guy down in the Dominican, and he made the comp to me. He was the guy who first put me onto William Contreras. And he said, this is a very similar profile. There's a lot of work still to do on the defensive side, but he sees things at the plate that most kids his age don't. He spits on balls that most kids don't. He's able to just punish velocity that misses its spot. That's a positive thing, absolutely. But you also need to kind of bring into play that William Contreras then took like 4 years before he got even a halftime job in the major leagues and was finally given a decent shot at major league time at 24 on his third time up to the major leagues, finally got some time, and then finally got a full-time job when he got traded. It took him getting traded before he got a full-time job.
One of the odd Anthopoulos moves was that he traded a young guy in favor of keeping veterans around, but at a position where that is usually looked upon as a good thing.
And that's, well, and he kept, I can't blame keeping Travis d'Arnaud as the backup. What I struggled with is the cost of Contreras
money
for Murphy and how much of an upgrade is Murphy over Contreras. And that was always my issue with that trade, but it's done. We can't go back and, you know, undo trades. It's not MLB the Show. So,
It's catchers, so it's all dumb. Okay. Anyway, at the end of the day, like,
but you know,
catchers, generally speaking, won't win you your league, but they could lose it for you. So perhaps Ramirez will be a guy that won't lose you a league in the future, but let's not worry about rostering him tonight, because this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Yes, we are going to talk about pitchers on the struggle bus, but first it's time for my Jesus Takes the Wheel pick of the week, everybody. And tonight, Ben, I hope you are excited, just like I am, to let everyone know that they should be out there picking up Matthew Liberatore. That's right, everybody. The former Tampa Bay first round pick, now St. Louis Cardinal, last shot at a roster or at a starting spot, lefty. So tonight he's pitching. And let me tell you, let me look. I'm going to look right this second, because we are LIVE live. One inning pitched. He has given up zero earned runs or runs in total, and he has a strikeout. You're right. I'm not mentioning the walk or the hit. Not important, people. He has knocked the 3.54 ERA down to 3.38 already. Tonight he is going up. Oh, are you going to play the perfect? Can you get the music on? Play it under me so we don't get kicked off. But is it playing? Is it? I feel like it's kind of working.
Oh, it was way too loud in my ear. Sorry. So, but we can watch her, you know, sing, and we can
watch Carrie. It's because I mean why? Yeah, would...
and we know what she's singing. So
just so everyone out there knows, he's playing against the Angels tonight, which, I mean, you can't get him in at this moment, and likely he will be at home this weekend to Boston. So he's playing a team that's 11 games under 500 tonight. So I'm hoping for good things. And then around a 500-ish team. And in 20 and a third innings pitched this year, as I mentioned, 3.54 ERA is already down. 16 strikeouts, which you don't like, but only one home run and only 8 walks. And these previously, especially the walks, have been issues for Liberatore, and he has struggled to be an MLB-er And now he's got a shot because Steven Matz is still sidelined. And I feel like we got three or four starts out of Libertor here to see what he can really do. The FIP, just for anybody who likes advanced stats that don't actually count in fantasy, is 3.38, which is currently his ERA as of like right now, this moment. So he has been true to his ERA as far as outcomes go. And the WHIP, 1.18. All serviceable. But this includes him having a crappy Saturday outing where he gave up, I think, two runs in a third of an inning. And that, in my opinion, wasn't a time he was necessarily supposed to be starting. So I think Libertor's got a good shot at getting, by the end of this week, getting up to the 70 to 80 pitch count, because they're just going to, I'm assuming, just going to let him go throw 60 tonight and then see what he can do, you know, in the next one and keep him 60 to 70. And then, all right, let's have a go at it. But I like the idea here of Libertor, who is not rostered anywhere because he wasn't getting holds or anything like that. So I think that's a good one. And then I can recap a bunch of these Jesus Take the Wheel guys next week when people want to hold my feet to the fire. That'll be fine. I'll take it.
All right. Well, now that we've had our one uplifting moment, we all got to see Carrie Underwood. I think it's now time to get sad again. We're going to talk about some guys who are not exactly starting off the year very well. And we're going to start off like we did last week. We're going to start with the young guys. And, our first guy is, I'm going to skip over one and go to a 2023 first round pick in Thomas White. And, boy, you know, he's getting strikeouts at least, but everything else is not what you would hope out of a, arguably the best lefty in that class.
And also what we'll talk about tonight, a lot of the single saving grace for these pitchers who have been bad is the strikeout total, but it's coming at the expense of all the other stats that we'll also talk about. Because in 25 and two-thirds innings, White has a 4.01 ERA, a 1.70 WHIP, and 12 walks, which 12 walks, as you will find out as we go along, is not horrible.
No.
But it's also not what you want out of, you know, you're walking, you're giving up a free base every other inning at this moment or in and around that mark. And yeah, White was absolutely highly sought after in Dynasty because he was seen as Ben said, a top lefty and just a top high school arm in the draft last year where Miami went pitcher-pitcher. Mm-hmm. Out the gate. So, and White at A-ball has not been off to a hot start. Giving up a 300 average as well, meaning he's very hittable. So he's at A, he's clearly not deceiving anybody out there, but he is able to overpower a few guys, which we did talk a lot before about the fact that in high school ball, you can just be really good with your fastball. And that's good enough to get by everybody because they can't compete. But you're now in pro ball and you're in A ball. You got to make it work. So he's going to have some work to do here. It's certainly not a lost season. He's so early into it and we'll see what the Marlins want to do for overall innings for him. But we are not off to a hot start here. We'll move to the next guy here. Dylan Lesko with San Diego, who's another former first round pick in 2022 for Lesko in 19 innings pitched.
Yeah.
He's given up. Are you guys ready? 23 walks. He does have 22 Ks and a 1.74 WHIP. But Ben, this is the odd one for me. His the batting average against is 164. So he's just giving away so many free passes that he must. I mean, also, I don't remember if he was five or six starts. He was multiple starts though, averaging under four innings per start. He must be throwing so many pitches and balls in that only very bad hitters are swinging and missing.
And I will say I'm watching, or I watched him, and I'd have to remember who he was playing because I watched because of the pitching matchup. But Lesko his stuff is absolutely filthy. I mean, and I can see why nobody can get a square, get the bat head on it correct. Because it has a lot of late movement, but I think he's really struggling with that. He came back from, you know, we have to remember he came back from Tommy John last year And so they were easy on his innings, and they still were kind of doing that to start the year, easing him in inning-wise. But the thing that Adam Wainwright, way back when, made the comment that the last thing you get back after Tommy John is the feel, yeah, the feel of your pitches. And it just, it looks like right now Lesko doesn't have the feel for anything but exactly what Joe's talking about, that changeup. And he can feel that pitch, but it's pretty easy to sit on a changeup when you know that that's the only thing the guy can control. Yeah. And so he's getting, guys can't square it up, but they can at least know it's coming and foul it off and eventually force him to issue more free passes. And so that's kind of where he's ended up a lot. And he ends up with really high pitch totals because of that too. So it's kind of bit him in the butt as he's trying to build up innings as well.
And it would be nice, like one of the things that in coming back from Tommy John that he really does need to work on as far as pitches go is the strike. That would be a good thing. We'll move on to the next guy here with Detroit third round pick. Was that last year that he was picked? Dylan Smith.
2021. That's the whole, like, that's kind of what's crazy to me is this is a college arm in 2021 and he's still in high A. But, and yeah, the ERA looks good.
We know why.
The ERA looks good. But 20 walks and 29 in a third innings. That doesn't look good. Just a guy that kind of popped on my radar. I believe I picked the names that I put on here were the guys who were at the bottom of the, if you took FIP and took the reverse, like the highest FIP, these were the guys who had the highest expected earned run average, essentially. And so Dylan Smith was absolutely one of them in that he's not exactly utilizing his defense well, you know, but somehow still has only a 3.03 ERA so far. Don't know how that's worked, but it feels like that's going to bite him soon.
Deceivingly bad. Yeah. Deceivingly bad for Dylan Smith. But we only wanted to go with a couple A-ballers because we got the higher you go, the more names we were able to add to this list. So we're going to promote ourselves up here at minute 41 and 30 seconds because I keep time codes just to keep the boss man, Govier, happy. We're moving up to double A, and we are going to head to Texas to talk about some Nick Kroth, who's got himself an ugly 615. 16.
I liked last year. I watched him coming out of Connecticut, out of UConn. He was an undrafted free agent after the 2020 draft. And so I watched it. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean you're bad. It was only a 5-round draft. So, you know, you could still be a pretty dang good guy and be a free agent in that draft. And
yeah, I wasn't drafted in that draft either. So that makes sense.
I thought that there was a future like back rotation guy watching him in his first 2 years in the minors. And then last year it was a 6 ERA. And I just thought, well, that's weird because he's got good enough stuff to where that shouldn't be true. No, he's come back and done it again. He's at a 6.15 ERA and double A again. And
he fooled you, Ben.
I thought that this guy is not that bad. He can't be that bad. And he might be that bad. So this might be going along the route of the minor league filler guy that disappears before spring training next year.
So. Right. Yeah, we get to that draft and they start to look at guys that need to move in and around the organization and get the short list of guys who maybe made it through their draft and sign period, but not into next season. But in 26 and a third innings, he does only have 17 Ks. So 16 walks, 17 Ks, not ideal. Angels have lots of pitchers, some of them good. Some of them go by the name of Jack K. Jack, but he isn't really. He isn't really Jack K because he's not K-ing a lot. Jack Konawonczyk.
I think it's Kakanowicz or something like that. But anyway,
Kakanowicz.
But he's good. 6'7" righty that I really liked coming out of high school, and he's had injury stuff and location stuff, and now this year the location isn't as bad, but he's not striking anybody out. 7.59 ERA, only 23 strikeouts in 32 innings. Now, 11 walks, you can live with that. It's not ideal, but you can live with that, especially compared to this list.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's just – he has a lot better stuff than 23 strikeouts in 32 innings. And so –
And again, at Double A, this is where players from the Angels get promoted up. And we were even talking about Kyren Paris.
Yeah,
now look, like yeah. We're talking about him struggling, and now he's up in the show. He's not playing a lot, yeah. But he's up because that's clearly where his home base, I guess, is Double
crazy?
A until maybe he falls out of favor, and then he would become a Triple A, you know, call up. I don't know, but either way, the fact that he's twice been called up from Double A without AAA experience is interesting. And then for old Jackie K here, he is potentially stuck and sputtering at AA. Somebody that has lots of hype and hope about him is Takeo Robey with St. Louis, but in 28 and two-thirds innings pitched, he has managed himself a 5.97 ERA. Again, he does have 30 Ks, which is good. 9 walks, not the worst. But the ERA, concerning.
And let me see if I can pull it. Yeah, of course, and I'm being the smart guy I am, I got rid of him. I had him pulled up here, but I believe, let me pull this up here quick, that he is an entertaining radio right here, folks. Yeah, exactly. 9 home runs so far in 28 and two-thirds innings.
Okay, that's what the big one
was. I was like, you know, I thought that there was a home run thing, and he's never really been a guy that got hit that hard. I mean, last year, 6 home runs in 58 innings, and that was with a rough ERA. 104 innings in 2022 and 19 home runs. So, I mean, not horrible, but you're talking about a home run every 10 innings or so. That isn't going to kill you. He's got 9 home runs in 28 innings. You're talking more than 3 home runs every 10 innings. That's concerning. That's a really high rate. So...
This is the Blotto Podcast. If you're in a hotel room right now, check to see if there's a Bible in your second drawer, courtesy of Gideon's. We'll be right back after these pointless messages.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Yep, absolutely. And this one, Ben, I put in mostly like to hurt you, but also just to give everybody an update on what's going on, because a top fantasy hype guy coming out of last year's draft was the Atlanta Braves 24th overall pick, Hurston Waldrop. And Waldrop, 3.90 ERA. Oh, you guys are cool with that, are you? Okay, cool. 13 walks. Oh, you guys are okay. You're going to forgive that. Sure. I bet you will, Ben. A 167 whip. Oh, yeah. You can talk about how the next start's going to fix it. Okay, well, he's pitched in 30 innings, and he's supposed to be a high K guy, but he only has 25 strikeouts. This isn't what I want out of my next man up scenario, next ace type who was getting a lot of a lot of praise and absolutely a top 10 first year player draft player here. Yes, he's got the aggressive assignment at Double A, but he was also aggressive, or the Braves were also aggressive out the gate with him last year.
He got all the way to Triple A last year. And the response seemed
a little more positive.
And
yeah,
one of the things that I think got overhyped was just how he performed last year. Waldrop had always been a guy that struggled with his command in college. He got to the Braves and suddenly was popping the zone with everything. And that's why he got to AAA. I never really thought that that was him. I never really thought that that was going to be, it was going to be that quick of a move for him. That there was likely going to be some time that he needed to figure out how to consistently hit the zone with that stuff. And I will say, just watching him, they've got him working backwards. Like he's always had an elite fastball split combo, and they have him working off of a lot of his breaking stuff to really try and work that into his, get him to command that stuff so that he can then bring in the split and the fastball. So yeah, the K's are down, and that's one of those things with minor leaguers. Sometimes there is a reason why their numbers don't look great and the team's just fine with it. So we have to be careful about completely scouting the stat line, but 25 mm-hmm. K's for him, he's supposed to have another worldly slider, you know? So the fact that he hasn't gotten right. strikeouts with it is also still a concern. So, and then,
yeah. So I think you agree, Ben, he's a drop across the board. That's what you're saying.
No,
you drop
him? No, but you know, this is exactly it. Even last year, Waldrop had control over command. He wasn't hitting his spots. He was hitting the zone, and his movement made it to where guys were missing. He even struggled to hit the zone in college. And once he stopped, you know, they wanted him to work on his command. And then suddenly you saw pretty quick that that command is actually the issue. So anyway, that Joe mentioned that he was concerned with Waldrop's command when he took a deep dive this offseason. Yep. And it's showing up. So,
yeah. I remember in two particular dynasty drafts, I thought if he falls to me, I will get him, but I'm not willing to trade up just because I'm not totally sold on it. And it's exactly for what David Hill in the live chat on YouTube just mentioned. Is he a future closer? And is that what we might see with him?
Yeah, I mean, said
not if command's not there, no. But if the command doesn't get there for a while, we might see him lose the opportunity to start, which might force the issue of bullpen, which could become bullpen
and
closer.
The struggle here is you're talking to a fastball splitter guy. It's not a fastball change. It's not a fastball breaking.
Right. So they're just sitting on fastball.
And so that's the difficulty right there. So.
Well, let's move into one of the guys who cost Rosney Contreras spot with the Pirates organization, but he's struggling. We're going to pour one out here for Anthony Solometo, the second round pick in 21 in 19 innings pitched, 5.68 ERA, 15 walks, 15 Ks. Neither are good. And a 1.74 whip. Now, I don't know if this is making adjustments like, you know, Ben had mentioned earlier in scouting the stat line, but one of the things you look for in fantasy are results. Of course, we want to make sure the process is there and the players are headed in the right direction. But Solometo is at a point in his prospect progression where we should be seeing results from the get-go. And I think it was four starts for him in 19 innings pitched. But I'm feeling now by looking at the line, it may be five starts because that's a lot of pitches as far as walks and Ks go to have 15 and 15. So take a look on that one just to make sure I got the number of starts right. But for Solometo, I mean, damn, like I thought he was going to be a bit more of a, easy under the radar type, rising star, you know, he's 21, the guy's 6'5", good weight to him. And let's see, where is he here? In six starts, Ben. 19 innings in six starts. Okay, so it was a big
one. You know,
and I mean, you know, he's lefty, looks aggressive on the mound, but he looks in the zone.
The guy he keeps getting compared to, or kept getting compared to, was Madison Bumgarner. And the struggle you have is when you have that really long hold on your backside with the arm, it allows everyone to see the pitch for a long time. And you got to be really accurate with that in order to make that work. And Bumgarner did. Bumgarner for a long time was excellent at, he'd whip that thing around and he spotted really well. But you saw what happened to Bumgarner, even as good as he was, when he stopped being able to precisely spot that. He didn't have the stuff anymore, or the stuff in order to not get just pummeled by hitters. And that's what...
That and the rodeo. I mean, I think it was that and the rodeo.
This is true. This is true. I mean...
But Solometto is not, from our understanding and our advanced scouting, is not a rodeo guy.
He does not enjoy Garth Brooks. So, you know, that's okay. We can...
But you know who might? I'm going to skip over the next one to get who might. His teammate that I think might enjoy a little bit of Garth Brooks is Bubba Chandler. The 21 third round pick, also hanging out at AA with him. And he's rocking himself a 4.13 ERA with 13 walks, is only giving up two home runs, 29 Ks, and a 129 whip, which of this class, I'm saying, is the best of the worst. And Chandler here, and again, I've got these two guys because we had expectations as, you know, prospect guys, as, you know, fantasy baseball enthusiasts, of good things. But in six starts, and he does for some reason have a save in his seventh, so I don't know if they've just transitioned him out or if for some reason he just had one, but in seven appearances total, 24 innings pitched, there's a lot going on there. And one of the interesting parts within this is the hitting average is 209. So they're not getting much contact off him. They're doing okay. It's better than last year for him in his 111 innings. But he finished a double A and is back to it. I don't know if this is just like bad conditions with maybe within, you know, Altoona, where these guys are pitching, or if there's more to it. I know we talk about like cold in the spring and stuff like that. Neither guy, the lefty, the righty, neither of them are doing well off the hop here.
So, yeah.
Great question, Joe. Is he a dirt bike guy? I think you're really asking, how's my son doing, Joe? And I appreciate that. He's going back. My son is going back to the specialist tomorrow morning. The MRI is booked. It's not for the MRI, but it's back to see how he's doing. And that poor kid is chugging away. He's sad that his dirt bike life is over for now, but that there's definitely a danger in it. You know, if you got a combo of bad cartilage and a love of dirt biking, it might not end well. And maybe that's what's going on in Altoona. These guys are riding hogs after work, and it's just not going well. We're in between starts, bullpen day.
We just solved the issue.
Yeah, they need to be professionals. Yeah. Speaking of being professional, we'll get back on the point here. Let's talk about the final guy here, Ben, at double A, Robbie Snelling, San Diego's 39th overall pick in 22 in six starts. I wrote in the starts for him. At some point, I realized I should write in the starts. Six starts, 28 innings pitched, 14 walks, a 1.5 whip, and 23 Ks. This is just not impressive.
It's
and that's
not
why he's on here.
Bad, but it's not good either. And what I think is interesting, at the start of the year, there was a comment made that they thought Lesko and Ethan Salas were going to earn their way up to double A, and then Snelling would become the third member of that trio, and the three of them would earn their next promotion together. But we're coming into the season with Snelling as a potential top two, top three overall pitching prospect, and very arguably the top left-handed pitching prospect in the game. And he doesn't look like that so far. Not at all. I've watched just a couple of starts, but it's not as sharp. The best way to put it is he's not hitting his spots. Last year, that was one of the things. It was just ridiculous how often you'd watch a game and he didn't miss the catcher's mitt. And he's just not doing that this year. So,
I mean, it's disappointing because we talked last week as well about San Diego's prospects not exceeding expectations, and you know how incredibly frustrating that can be. And sometimes when pitchers don't work out as starters, they end up becoming closers, or in, you know, worst case scenario, they're a project, and the projects are the, you know, starter long man type guys who don't end up becoming anything. But sometimes a guy's got a, you know, a big history of injuries, and it takes a while for them to get their themselves around. That's not the case here with Snelling. But it is the case with about to be mentioned, Brent Honeywell Jr. Here's the update that everybody was really wondering about tonight. In 15 and two-thirds innings of AAA, 11 games finished. This guy has 3 saves, everybody, in 16 Ks and a 1.14 whip. And the ERA is a little high at 5.17. That happens sometimes. But Honeywell is still marching his way back. Counted in, Pittsburgh's closer for the second half. You heard it here for the second time. Chad's got a real comment. He wanted to know
about Jake Eater, former elite starter with the Marlins, then went under the knife, elbow popped. Mm-hmm. And folks, Jake Eater, unfortunately, is your example of not everyone returns from Tommy John surgery. His stuff before he got hurt, he was a 97, 98 mile an hour top out, 94-ish average fastball. And I don't know that he's touched 94 yet this year. He's sitting in the low 90s now. It's a very straight fastball. There's not a lot of carry through the zone with it. He doesn't have anywhere near the same stuff, unfortunately. And this, we always assume that for some reason that guys going under the knife for Tommy John are going to come back just fine. This is a great example that not everyone does. Now, could he figure out a way to make it work at 90? Absolutely. 100% he could. But right now, he's got to figure out how to be a completely different pitcher than he's been his entire life, because he's lost significant velocity on his pitches.
Yeah, and when you start doing that, you need to kind of have a base from which to work with. And if it's not elite changeup that can then throw guys off by slowing that down another 5 miles, it can, like you know, you said, Ben, it's 90 and it's straight, as Ty would say on Dingers. If it's down the dick, it's going to get hit. So you need that thing moving. You need something that's going to throw them off, something that they're going to need that second to be like, what is that pitch? You know, where's that thing going? For Eater, it's not
one of the rare moments that Miami actually made a smart trade, where they got rid of him, got Jake Berger, which hasn't completely turned out, but turned out really good last year. And they traded Eater before the rest of the world figured it out. So, you know, there we go. Ha ha, there we go. David's got your Honeywell update in hand here.
Yeah. Thank you, David, saying the screwball worked for Mike Marshall. Why not have it for Honeywell? It is. It is going to work for Honeywell. And it will. The second half, guys. The second half of 2024. Anyway, Ben, it's time for promotion. We're at the one-hour marker here. Let's hop our hot butts on to AAA. And I kind of feel like you're picking on our first guy here a little bit. You know, I had high hopes for him. Yeah. Last year, and then, you know, he was available everywhere. The 2023 season opening day, he was widely available. I started picking him up, and Carlos F. Rodriguez, everybody's who we're talking about, Milwaukee hopeful future starter, but so far in 38 and two-thirds innings pitched, he's given away 22 free passes. He's only punched out 41, and I say only because that K to walk ratio sucks, and then you put the innings pitched in and it results in this crappy 6.28 ERA. He's just not pitching well, and he was pitching well last year, effectively last year, looked dominant
and with
last
the
year.
Issues the issues that they've had at the major league level, if he has been serviceable so far this year, he'd be in the major league rotation right now. They've needed so much help at the major league level that he could have, or at least would have been a swing man getting some starts and, you know, maybe finally getting to show off that stuff at the back end of the bullpen, which is unfortunately where I always thought he'd probably end up. But there was still enough potential there that you had to just let him ride it out as a starter to see if that potential could, you know, make hay as he got up to the major league level. And right now, not so much. He's struggling at AAA. Now, what I will say is, as we get into talking about these, there are one, two, three, and Rodriguez is technically the fourth, guys that are in the PCL. And we got to remember, there's a reason why certain clubs like San Diego promote directly from AA to the majors. The Angels promote their pitchers directly from AA to the majors rather than have them go through the PCL. But.
And Kyren Paris. Yeah,
well, you know.
And that one shortstop.
Yeah, and then the one shortstop. But I mean, in all reality, a lot of teams, with the reduced amount of minor leaguers that you're allowed to have kind of made AA where your studs finish. And AAA has kind of become the, well, he's not quite ready for the majors, but he's too good for AA. Here's his proving ground. You know, not necessarily a quad A guy, but a guy that maybe isn't quite finished yet. Mm-hmm. And so this is...
Well, the walks are proven that point, right, Ben? Like, I mean, you could go through and struggle with ERA, and you could have park factors and other issues that get in, and your FIP could be fine. But when you're throwing 22 guys on base in 38 and two-third innings, you're giving a lot of opportunity, especially if you've done it with, you know, zero or one outs in an inning. You're giving a lot of opportunity to the opposition to get some runs in. And Rodriguez very well may be doing that. I know the Blue Jays promoted all their pitchers straight from AA when their AAA team was Vegas. And that was when I first kind of learned about how you would do that, because I forget what the first guy that they called up was, but I was like, from AA, that's crazy. And then someone said, oh, the AAA ballpark is horrible.
Which
for,
is why it makes so much sense pitchers. To have the A's play there, you know, because that's going to help.
That's right. Put a major league speaking team there. Of, it'll at least improve. Well, I mean, they're
speaking of major leaguers, a lot of folks were talking coming into this season that Connor Phillips was going to take and run with the first sign that he had shown last year, that anyone who watched him extensively said, hey, those numbers aren't real. He's not pitching this well. There's about to be a bottom blowout of the floor here. And lo and behold, 8.28 ERA, 23 walks, 22 strikeouts in just in 29 innings, almost a two whip.
Gosh.
In AAA. Phillips looks like kind of what the naysayers thought he might look like, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is a worst case scenario for anyone who's like, I'm in on Phillips. I'm okay with the park factors in Cincinnati. It's going to be fine. And then they're like, wait, he didn't make the team? Sorry, that's his AAA line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you're not bringing that guy up with any hope of excellence. You know, when you're going to be good at AAA, when you're going to be bad at AAA, you're not going to expect to walk up and be good. Like the next guy that we're going to talk about. But yeah, for Phillips, it has been a rough go from day one. I did have, if anybody was interested, which I'm sure you guys were, an update on Abraham Toro stealing a base tonight. He did. Okay, let's continue.
So
that's all I wanted to say. Is Ben's trying to enjoy an apple.
Actually, no, I'm enjoying some peanut butter that's on the lid of a container. So anyway.
Yes, you're looking at a container. That's, okay, great.
That's now even better knows. Radio, folks, now that we all know.
We got a can licker here, people.
Well, when you get to eat all of a salad all day long and it's 9 o'clock at night, sometimes you're just that desperate. All right. So
but hold on, Ben. Before you get back on topic, I just wanted to, you just said you barely got to eat anything but a salad. I did a wedding tasting tonight, and a group of four in total had probably roughly a pound each of protein put in front of them to eat for this wedding tasting. Chicken breast three different ways, salmon two different ways. We did some delicious sous vide beef that we cooked for 48 hours. Low temperature cooking,
really
people.
Good.
Wave of the future. Three different sauces went out with that bad boy. And then we had four vegetarian entrees that they all got to. Joe, I'll be married 15 years this August. 15 years, October, sorry, October. I know the date. My wife's not listening. I know the date. But I have her in my phone. And this is a great tip for any of you out there. I told this to the groom today. I said, put your spouse or future spouse in your phone and have her sign be the number of years you've been married. So my wife pops up as wife of 14 years. And that way I always know how long I've been married. So whenever anyone asks, I can answer before her. And I think they care about those things. You know, more so than the high ERAs we're talking about.
I will say the thing that I learned, and I do this with birthdays too. I put the year that they were born. You know, granted that it does require math. You know, it's the Chevy Chase issue. You know, it does require math. But if you got it in there that, you know, hey, anniversary, and the date is on there of, you know, 2002. Well, it's pretty easy to start doing the math and going, oh, that's 22 years. Congratulations on 22 years. You know, so there you go.
That's fair. Yep. I got married a week before Halloween.
Wife number 14.
No, you think my numbers are that high? Come on now. But anyway, so we talked about disappointing Carlos F. Rodriguez and disappointing Connor Phillips. Let's talk about good major leaguer, crappy minor leaguer, Joey.
And there comes Oakland. In that Las Vegas park. You know, that's where Oakland is right now, is in Las Vegas. And that is, it's showing itself. It's not a great park. And
6.04 ERA, 10 walks.
I mean, and really,
innings, 26 Ks, 7 home runs, right? 145.
The walks and strikeouts, you can live with those numbers. It's maybe a guy who, because he knows his park, is maybe trying to be a little too precise. But other than that. Right.
Yeah. Make sure he doesn't get hurt, and then he hurts himself by
doing that. But other than that, I mean, you could live with those numbers. But the 7 home runs allowed absolutely are a park factor. So anyway, Estes, though, came up, and lo and behold, 0 walks, 5 strikeouts, 5 innings. Real nice scoreless start for the A's this last week. I'm not going to say he's going to keep doing that, but if you're pitching in Oakland's ballpark as a lefty pitcher, Estes is a righty. Sorry. Anyway, regardless, you're pitching in Oakland's ballpark either way.
From either side, really. Yeah, either side.
And quite frankly, Oakland has a pretty darned good defense behind them. You know?
Yep.
And they built it that way. You got a every game out, you got a shot at least 5 innings of quality play. Now, if you're in a quality start league, maybe not such a great thing. If you're in a win league, that's such a great thing. But you don't draft or roster an Oakland pitcher expecting that you're going to get a quality start or a win, because that's just not going to happen very often with Oakland guys. It's just, unfortunately, what it is. But, you know, Jagger Haynes.
Yeah, you need, so for a really at any Oakland pitcher, you need either a points league format to feel safe about it, or you need multiple, like beyond 5x5, right? So like Ben, you'd said the quality starts, that's typically, you know, you can get into 6x6. I play in a couple 8x8s where you can get more factors that help pitchers, JP Sears in particular, be a bit more effective doing what they do best on a team that's not always winning. And quality starts are, you know, obviously great, but you don't want somebody who's giving up contact to be crushing you. You want the defense helping you out in different ways. And Estes right now, at least one start in, as we talked about with Oakland having 2 guys going on the IL, maybe we'll see him stick around and make 20 starts this year, or maybe he'll be back in Oakland struggling. But one guy that we thought could have a good shot at coming up this year, depending on what the Phillies wanted to do, was Mick Abel, the 2020 first round pick, 27 and a third innings pitched. It's been 5.68 ERA, 17 walks, a 1.68 whip, 4 home runs in 26 innings pitched. It has not been great, but this is a guy years younger than the competition right now at AAA, and it shows. So I don't know if Abel needs to kind of shake it off, if he's got needs that veteran catcher back there with him.
Yeah.
But he's not looking like the guy we wanted to see this year, which it would be disappointing if it was like, you know, if he's capped himself. I don't think that's the case. But right now, you know, between him and Painter, there's a lot of dynasty guys out there who are looking at Phillies pitchers and wondering, you know, should we jump ship on any of these other guys? Because they don't seem to be able, I mean, Painter got hurt, of course, but regardless, they don't seem to be able
finish
to
finish the product,
come up and,
well, and make it happen like, within the organization. Look at a guy like Griff McGarry, who was 2 years ago, was like the big thing.
Oh, man.
And now I don't know if you're ever going to see that guy get a major league inning, even in the bullpen.
I've been trying to trade him in two leagues, and my ask has went down drastically for him in both leagues. And I, as the guy that rosters him, I have not been able to get back a current low ceiling MLB-er. And in one league in particular, I offered McGarry, and I can't remember what the other guy was, to try to get Abraham Toro, which would have just been 2 years of Toro. And, you know, would have been the first potential 5 years of McGarry and whatever 5 years of this other prospect that, again, was like just disappointed at the time. Hmm. The guy didn't even want to consider it. And I thought, geez, like how bad has it fallen for McGarry here?
Not terrible this year in AAA. 3.45 ERA as a reliever.
It's the loss of start, though, right?
He's a reliever.
Yeah, it's because he's not starting.
15 and two-thirds innings, 23 strikeouts, still 9 walks, though. As a reliever, that you don't like that. 9 walks and 15 two-thirds. So
it's the loss, because it used to be the potential of Painter, Abel, McGarry, and McGarry was always the third guy, not, you know, second or first. But the fact that he's now out of the rotation, it's like everyone's like, nope,
absolutely
not gonna which invest any.
It definitely does make
him.
You worry a bit about any young Phillies pitchers you're hearing about, but I don't know. It is, for what it's worth, it's a different pitching development system than it was when Mick Abel was drafted. And that is one thing that is always tough, is when a guy gets drafted in and then has everything swept out around him as far as who's teaching him what to do as a pro. And then all of a sudden you got to learn from a whole different crew of people the next year. That part can get difficult, but
So this might, I would look at this as an opportunity to potentially buy low on Abel, thinking that the skill set's there, that we could still see a lot from him. Whereas with a lot of the guys we've discussed tonight, I'm not going to buy based on what I've seen at this point in time. You know, with Abel, I feel like, yeah, sure, there could be a turnaround here. Not, oh my goodness, there's a glaring hole that finally he's been caught on. You know, he's still a young guy. It could be... You know, there could be more to them, but let's get on to what hopefully potentially upsets you. I don't know why I said hopefully. AJ Smith-Shawver, Atlanta's 7th round pick in 2021, who everyone was over the moon for him. And I mean, we like him, right? We like him too.
Yeah.
But 5.96 ERA, 6 home runs, 15 walks, 1.52 WHIP, and only 27 Ks in 25 and two-third innings this year at AAA. I thought he was supposed to be a K guy. I thought he was supposed to be solid with his skills and abilities. I didn't think the 15 walks, again, is not ridiculous for what we've talked about tonight. It's also not good. I didn't think he would be this high with his walks. And that's a lot of dingers to give up.
And I thought, let's pull him up here. They're working with him on kind of sequencing and doing some things, which are important, obviously. But I love – this is, just makes for great radio for anyone who can't see me sitting here trying to pull crap up. But he had started out the season really struggling with location, and he kind of started to figure it out and had a hell of a start against Durham, where he went five scoreless, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk, but looked – like the guy you want him to look like. And then he's just fallen off hard the last 2 starts. 3 walks in both of them. And they're both against Charlotte, which, you know, that's the White Sox minor league team. It was a 2-start week for him, but both of them against Charlotte.
So Oscar Colas is really getting the best of him.
I mean, 3 home runs against him. It's just...
No. Not Colas.
No.
You just mean the team.
Against... 3 home runs in the 2 starts combined against Charlotte. So the team got 3 home runs against him, which that's just, that's not that great. Well, let's see here. I'm pulling up the lineup because I want to just.
We've upset everyone. We've upset him. He's now going through the line. He's about to say they're all trash.
Actually,
he doesn't know why he's not.
Actually,
getting
the guys who took him deep when he gave up two were Colson Montgomery and Dominic Fletcher. Those are two guys I actually wouldn't be that upset about you getting tagged by. But he also gave up two walks to Montgomery, and Montgomery has not exactly been doing well with judging the strike zone this year. So that's not a good sign. To have that kind of a run, but I don't know. I haven't had a chance to watch either one of those two starts just to see what they're doing different, but I know he was working on developing another breaking pitch and then just working on sequencing all three of them and all three of his primaries. And then he's got now kind of a fourth and even a fifth, depending on how you want to call his sinker versus his four seam. But yeah, you thought he was going to be up and just going straight to the majors here. But here's another thing. Mm-hmm. Smith-Shawver last year rocketed through the minor leagues. You know, this is a guy who started out the year pitching in high A and finished in the majors. You know, you don't expect that. And there may just be a little bit of dead cat bounce here. That he's kind of responding to, hey, I moved really darn quick last year, but maybe I missed some development steps along the way because you pitch only 7 innings in double A, you pitch only 14 innings in high A, and then he got 41 innings in triple A before he, you know, put in 25 innings in the majors. You know, he's already at this point of the season got more innings pitched than he had in the majors last year. And the majors were where he pitched, you know, a quarter of his innings. So this is not a guy who's had a lot of innings put on the arm yet. There's just a lot of things here that this might have just been kind of a bad bounce year that we all should have looked at and gone, yeah, he could have a tough year. It moved up so fast.
And I feel like we did a little bit about that, Ben. I feel like we talked about the potential for an ugly looking line simply because it was so many levels so quick last year that Atlanta did it out of need, and his performance dictated where he was, you know, pitching. And this year that's not there right away, and they're just letting him pitch. And this is what we're seeing as far as like the teams are scouting him and, you know, things like that are going on. So the development for him, I think the important part is what are you going to do in your next six starts?
Absolutely.
You know, what are the improvements? We've seen what you've done. That's okay. Let's see your next 25 innings. And then beyond that, let's see what you do and where you make minor improvements. Cause you certainly don't need to all of a sudden, you know, completely revamp yourself. It's just make those minor changes to prove that you're better, but I don't want to keep upsetting you. So we can talk about a Marlins.
Oh, but see, you're taking my big, the guy I love in Max Meyer.
I know. Reason why I said I don't want to disappoint you and then go right to a guy who will disappoint you is that it's fun for me. And that's Max Meyer with Miami, who's 0-3, 9.24 ERA, 7 walks in 12 and two thirds inning pitch, despite his 16 strikeouts. But he is MLB ready. What's happening here, Ben? Is this just like I'm disappointed with where I am and the results
in all seriousness,
expressing myself?
This looks to be a lot like, do you remember when Ronald Acuna got sent back down to AAA after he had come up and had a really nice start? Or everyone expected him to start the 2018 season in the majors and they sent him back down to AAA. Now, granted, he was only 20 years old, but I'm trying to pull it up here. Oh, God bless America. Then I click the wrong dang thing. I want to pull up his
at Pornhub. It just always just it's a click away, everybody.
And it's so much more fun. but anyway, the 2018 season, Gwinnett, he came out 211, 297, 267 is what Ronald Acuna hit in 23 games. And then he got called up to the majors and won the Rookie of the Year over Juan Soto. I mean, and both of them had elite rookie years, but he was ready. And he was sitting in minor in AAA going, what the hell else do I need to do here? And I think that's kind of where Max Meyer is going, I got the stuff. I know my stuff works in the majors. Just look at the results. But they're playing games with his innings, really. And we know it. They're admitting it, but not admitting it at the same time. They're saying that they're going to send him down.
Yeah, they're quoting themselves. They're patting themselves trying to say, we're being responsible with him. And he's like, I'm healthy. I want to pitch.
17 innings in the majors this year, 2.12 ERA, an 0.82 whip, and 14 strikeouts to 3 walks. The guy should be pitching in the majors.
Bellissimo.
He should be in the majors, period.
Yeah. And hell, do this crap in the majors.
Yes. Right?
Give him 3 innings a week in the majors. You're the worst. You are or are amongst the worst teams in Major League Baseball. He will make you better. And not good enough to win ball games, but his clock, I guess, is more the fact that he can stop his clock is more important to them.
Right now, the team with the least amount of wins in all of the major leagues is the Miami Marlins. So they are
officially the worst. Major leagues.
I don't know if they have the worst percentage, but they have the least amount of wins. So that's what we're going to go with at this moment. So now we got one more, and this is another guy who, God, I thought he was going to be something this year. And, you know, he does have the cheater label on him. And that's Carson Wisenhunt of the San Francisco 49ers. Oh my gosh. See, this is what happens when Ben starts to get to that crazy tired point of his night. But Wisenhunt, really, a lot of folks thought that he was going to take over a starting job this year alongside Kyle Harrison, and those two are going to be the lefties of the future for the Giants. Yeah.
The Giants. God. Oh my God. It's not the Jesus 49ers, Christ. Ben. I'll help. I'll get you through this. You need a Jesus takes the wheel moment here. And maybe, just like everybody else wanted to know, how is Matt Libitor doing tonight? Right now, guys, he is out of the ball game. It's 4-0 for the Angels in 3 1/3 innings pitched. He did give up 4 runs. Okay. Look, this is what happens when Jesus takes the wheel sometimes. 2 walks and only 1 K, which I did mention earlier. He gave up a ding dong. That's what happened. So 4.56 ERA after tonight's play. And hopefully he doesn't take the loss and the Cardinals can wake up. So not a great start. That can happen. Ben, I hope you've recovered. Let's finish off with Carson cheating Wisenhunt, the 22nd round pick.
He was
in 8 starts, 25 2/3 innings pitched. Disgusting that's all he's got out of 8 starts.
He was one of Chad's big pushes coming into the season, thought that he was going to be a great starter for the Giants. And I mean, 19 walks in 25 2/3 innings. 19 walks. I mean, you just right there, you know why he's struggling. He has not been locating the ball. It's crazy enough stuff that he's still got 41 Ks. The stuff is still that stinking good, but you got to locate it to get a batter out. It's just, you know, if you load the bases and strike out the side, eventually you're going to load the bases and the ball leaves the park. So you can't walk the bases full every inning and expect to strike out the side every time to take care of yourself. It just doesn't work that way.
And this is a San Francisco team that is veteran laden, but also has Keaton Wynn in that rotation with Harrison, who Harrison's fine. But Wynn has been struggling.
And they have spots.
If Wisenhunt could get it together. Yeah, if Wisenhunt could get it together, there's opportunity. So we need to see.
I mean, they're giving starts to Dalton Jeffries. Let's be honest. If he was doing,
that's true. Great point.
If he was able to handle it, he would be up in the majors. Although they are not giving starts to my man Kaiwei Tang, that bugs me that they're bringing him up and putting him in the bullpen. What the heck kind of crud? Oh, never mind. He's walked 8 and struck out 7 in the majors. Okay. Good call, Giants.
Well, you know what, Ben? This has been a rough show on you. You know, we've pointed out players that you love that aren't doing well. You know, you've shot yourself in the foot with pronouncing words and things. Let's let's finish on a high note. Let's tell everybody that's still sticking with us.
We have real here fun, at the good
1 news. 1 hour 26
minutes. Real good news.
What's coming up for everyone's ears?
So, in July, they do this thing now during the All-Star break that used to be done during the College World Series called the Major League Draft. And next week, we have a return guest, which, you know, I'll say that's, for some reason, that's been a little bit difficult for me to pull off, is getting people to show up again. I don't know what that, maybe, I don't know. I'll just leave it out there. But Carlos Collazo of Baseball America is going to come, and he is going to talk with us about the 2024 Major League Draft. Carlos already has a top 400 list on Baseball America. So you know he knows the depth of the draft. He'll be able to give us a lot of great information on the draft. That's who's going to be with us next week. and I will say, Joe was my guy on minor league opening day last year. So, you know, we could always have Joe on and talk about baseball cards, because that's always a fun topic. But you're like,
okay.
Joe like, will also talk with you about trucks, I'm sure. So, you know.
Oh, okay. Now I'm interested. And since I hadn't given anyone an update, we'll get the Carlos news is great, right? It's great news. I'm bringing my truck back to the mechanic in the next 48 hours for what should be its final safety inspection, which means it should pass. My son is dying to go for a ride in the truck so he can sit in the front seat of a vehicle. And I can't wait to make his dreams come true and mine by sitting with the boy going for a ride. And maybe, you know, after that, we might have a catch, you know, because we've been doing that a lot lately, Ben. We've been having catches in the house before school. Do you
play catch?
We call it having a catch. I say, go grab the gloves. Yeah, let's have a catch.
I'm just saying.
And we use a sponge ball.
It's like the eternal question and debate. And
Yeah, we have a catch. That's just what we do. We have a catch. We could play catch, but it's a lot more, the ball hits his glove and goes flying off of it. So if I don't hit it right in the pocket at the moment he's squeezing, he refuses to trap it. It's not part of his game, I guess. Not yet. He's just straight glove or nothing. So I've said to him, well, why don't we try a little bit of Frisbee play? And Joe saying, former owner of a 06 Ford Ranger, FL4 level 2. I don't know what the FL4, like, I'm assuming that's four-wheel drive, but level 2. I don't, is that like a, you know, a lift kit? And the current owner of a 22 Ford F-250.
Diesel.
The Lariat. Diesel, so you got yourself a nice interior with that diesel. Yeah, you got a nice interior with that diesel.
Robbie's up in another octave here, folks.
Good for you. But anyway, trying to teach the kid catch, so I thought maybe we'll incorporate a bit of Frisbee. Frisbee's not working. I'm not accurate with it, so he's just running around picking up my misses, and he's not tall enough to get the ones that are going over his head yet. So we're working on the catch, but we go inside during the, like, before school. We go outside to have a catch after, and it's nicer weather now. So anyway, all that said, very exciting that we've got Carlos coming on with us next week, and thank everybody that's been listening now for 90 minutes.
Amen.
We much appreciate.
So, Robbie, you got anything going on this week that you want to tell the fun people about?
I mean, I got another meeting for the Mopar Fest car show coming up in New Hamburg in August. And the truck stuff. But other than that, it's just watching a lot of baseball. I am still undefeated in my home league. And as I said last week, Ben, I went up against the last place team. So, of course, I'm going to lose. I did not lose. I tied. And the reason I tied was Sunday night game, Atlanta's playing. He's got Matt Olson in the lineup. I've got Acuna. Matt Olson gets out, drops his weekly average down to, you know, 246 or whatever it was. And I'm like, sweet, I'm at 247. I've got him. Please do not let Acuna go back up. And what happens? Acuna gets another at bat. Acuna gets out. My average drops down to 246. But his, like, decimal beyond 4.6 was higher than mine. So he got the category. We tied, but now I'm 5-0-1. 5-0-1. And, you know, exactly. I'm cool with that start amongst several other leagues, but the home league is always important. To those of you who have home leagues, you know what I'm talking about.
So
What about you, Ben?
Oh, anything fun, exciting? I unleashed, as we prepare for Carlos, I unleashed my first mock draft Monday. It's something I did for years when I wrote for FanSided, is starting in about mid-May, I would produce a new mock draft every single Monday. I'm not going to be that dang aggressive, but I'm planning on doing about five of these before the draft. And
how deep do you go on your list?
I top do 30 all the way until the second round. So all of the comp picks, all of for the first round and all of the comp picks. So you get, I don't know, what is it this year? I was just going to go look. I think it's 39. Let me see here. 39. Kansas City Royals at 39 were my last one. So,
Okay, so that's probably what, like a high school catcher?
No, not for them this year. At least in my drafting, I did not have them do a high school catcher.
Okay.
But I did
high school pitcher.
I did mention at their, what is their first pick? Like sixth. I had them pick someone quite a ways off the board from what people are expecting.
Where can people go to get this?
At Chasing Baseball Greatness on Medium, medium.com, but chasingbaseballgreatness.medium.com. And it should be the top one there. And my 10-pack that I do every week of minor leaguers, I am focused on guys this week who are either undrafted or very low-dollar international signees that are doing well so far this year. So it's kind of a fun group to go through. That will be posting either, well, as tired as I am, I may not stay up to finish that one. It might be going up on Wednesday, let's be honest. So, but it'll be going up one of the next 2 days here. So.
Excellent. So you said Chasing Baseball Greatness.
Medium.
Medium. Like medium, yeah, rare.
.com.
Gotcha. .com.
And it's, I put video.
Oh, I'm there, everybody. And there is a sexy picture of Ben up.
I OMG. Mean, is there such a thing as a non-sexy? But anyway. Well, actually, yeah. There are.
Well said.
But we'll have a lot of fun talking about this.
It's there. It's right there, people. We'll have
a lot of fun talking with Carlos next week. This is going to be a fun draft for those who like the draft process, because while you might know who the top eight players are, there's some fun teams in the top eight that could just decide, you know what, I'm not going to go with one of those guys and I'm going to pick somebody else that I want to. And I had the Royals do exactly that. And then that just throws everything into all into kind of things. And you have teams like the Arizona Diamondbacks who have three picks in the top 40. They have three picks before the second round, but their first pick is the 29th. So they might be able to move somebody that, or might be able to select somebody that falls that you're not expecting to. So it'd be kind of a fun draft.
Yeah. And I'm on the site and I'm looking, I'm chasing greatness just like all the listeners should. And I'm also acknowledging that I did not pay a lick of attention to the NBA draft or MLB draft lottery last year. I'm like, oh, that's where the Nationals are picking?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, and part of that is after you've been inside the lottery, which I believe is the top, the top three picks or something like that. But anyway, you can't get into the lottery anymore. And so then this year is one of those rare situations where I believe everyone in the lottery is higher than what they expected to be in the top three picks. So the A's have the fourth pick, and I believe they had the worst record last year. I'd have to double check my sources on that. But anyway, it's Ohio gets the first two picks this year. So yeehaw for them.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm looking at them all. Okay, well, that's all news for next week and beyond. So we'll come back next week. We'll have Carlos here with us, and we'll be talking. I'm going to try to not. There we go. I'm not saying NBA. MLB draft coming up. Ben's talking football. I'm talking NBA. It's time to end the show, and thanks so much for listening.
All right. Have a good night, folks. Prospects, he's a curious thing. Make a person trade.
sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save